In the name of Jesus, I just thank you for your words, for truly their spirit and life. And I ask you, Father, just have your way. Pour yourself through me today. Lord, I don't know what to say to the people, but you know what to say. And Father, I believe you've given me this word, and I'm just going to share what you gave me. And I believe it's going to minister to people right where they need to be ministered to. And I give you all praise. I give you all glory. I give you all honor. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. Last week, Brother Roy talked to us, and he also ministered to a lot of the people, well, just about everybody last week, which was a very tremendous meeting. But he talked to us, and the gist of his sermon was reversing the curse. And Jim said something from the audience when Roy was preaching, and Roy says, "You took it away from me." But, you know, that's the way God is a lot of times. He'll be dealing with your heart before the word even comes forth. And, you know, I was listening to the songs this morning, and as we get into the word I'm going to share with you here, you'll kind of understand how even some of these songs fit right into what the Lord was giving me to share today. But anyway, I believe this will kind of help us sort of learn how to help reverse the curse, this word here. And I'm going to be coming out of Hosea chapter 6, verse 1 through 3 to start off with. And it says, "And come, let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He has smitten and he will bind us up." You know, Clyde could probably tell you about this because he just had some surgery on some different joints. And I can tell you because I had some surgery on a knee. And usually about a day or two after you have that surgery, guess what they do? They get you out and start making you move that thing. And it hurts and it don't feel good. But they start making you move it because you know what? As soon as you start, your body starts to heal, it builds up adhesions. And you have to tear all of those adhesions. And I'm going to tell you, when God does surgery in your life, He's going to tear those adhesions in your life. And a lot of times, if you don't tear those adhesions, what it'll do, it'll cause you to be crippled for the rest of your life. If you have rotator cuff surgery and you don't do the exercises, you will not be able to use your arm. You'll be able to lift your arm about that high, and you'll never get it up above your head. And I got news for you. If you have knee surgery and they don't get you over there and work you out and tear the adhesions that are in your knee, you'll not, that knee will be weak and you'll limp the rest of your life. And you know, in this, Hosea here says, "Come now, let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He has smitten, and he will bind us up." And you know, we don't like it when the Lord smites us a little bit. I mean, we usually don't like it. If we're honest, we don't. But I tell you what, it isn't long after the smiting that he comes along, and he begins to bind you up. And a lot of times the smiting comes when maybe you've said something that you shouldn't have said or you've done something you shouldn't have done, and all of a sudden the Lord lets you realize, hey, you just did the same thing that you said about that other person, or you just fell short in that same area. But I want you to know that he lets you feel his love for you even in the midst of your failures. And when he lets you feel that love, he's binding you back up. He's putting a little Band-Aid on you, and he's beginning to say, now, okay, I've smitten you a little bit. I've slapped you upside the head a little bit to let you know that, you know, you need to watch what you're doing and you need to move in a little different direction. Now I'm going to hug you and I'm going to love you. And you know, that's not always, like I say, it's not always fun to feel like the Lord is tearing you or to feel like that he's smiting you. But the beauty of it is that when he tears you, he also heals you. And when he smites you, he also binds you up. Praise God. The next verse there says, "After 2 days will he revive us, and in the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. You know, that's kind of beautiful in a way, and I know that's a prophetic scripture. You know, Jesus told them at different times, he said, go tell that old fox Herod that in 3 days I'll be perfected. He said, today I do cures and all this. He said, but in the third day I'll be perfected. And you know, I believe that we've moved into a third day type situation in God. And in that third day, literally, he's going to begin to rise us up, and we're going to begin, and we shall live in his sight, it says there. But a better translation of that word of living in his sight is live in his face. Live in his face. You know, we were talking about back in Sunday school about, you know, about seeing him as he is and different things like that. And you know, and then we'll be like him and all that kind of stuff. And you know, he wants us to live in his face. You know, when you get up in somebody's face, you're pretty intimate with them, you know. I mean, you know, when I see Margaret, I mean, she comes into the shop and you know, the guys are around there or something, and she'll give me a kiss in front of the guys, or I'll give her a kiss in front of, hey, that's all right. I like that. But you know what? I'm not embarrassed about that, because you know what? I like her living in my face. I like to live in her face because I love her, you know. And you know, so many times we tend to forget. I told you the story one time about my sister and my little, Evan was a nephew or whatever, but he used to, when he was real little, he would go and sleep with Grandma because he'd get scared at night. And she said she would wake up and he would be right in her face. He would have his nose against her nose, his forehead against her forehead. And she said, I'd open my eyes and he'd be right in my face. And you know what? God wants us to get in his face. He wants us to get in his face. It said after 2 days he will revive us. And you know, you hear a lot about revival. And my heart's prayer is, and even the message that Brother Roy shared last week about reversing the curse. Part of reversing the curse is beginning to revive us into a place where that's our heart's desire, is to be with him. You know, when you first got saved, most of the time, I don't know about you all, I can tell about me, but I know when I first got saved, I couldn't spend enough time with the Lord. I just had to get alone. I had to get quiet. I had to get still. I had to get off by myself every so often and just kind of get in his presence. And that was before I really totally understood Christ in you, the hope of glory, because his presence never goes away. It's inside of us all the time. But I want to tell you that he wants you to get in his face, so that when you look into his eyes, you see yourself. You see the apple of the eye, the little man of the eye, and that'll be you. He wants you to do that. It says in the verse 3, it says, then shall we know, and that word has a primitive root. It means to ascertain by seeing. To ascertain by seeing. And I got news for you. That's what he wants you to do. He wants you to begin to know him by seeing him in everything that you do, and in every place that you go, and in everybody that you come in contact with. Because when you see him as he is, guess what? You're going to be just like him. And we have to come to that knowledge of, Lord, we desire to see you as you are. You know, a lot of people are waiting. They're saying, you know, you hear a lot of the ministers, well, it isn't going to be long, and Jesus is going to split the eastern skies, and he's going to come back. I got news for you. He came back in you the day that you received him as your Lord and Savior. His Spirit came back in you that day. And I'm going to tell you, when he appears, he's going to appear in you. That doesn't mean that he isn't going to appear in the natural, because I believe he will. But the heavens must retain him until the restitution of all things, until all things are restored. And even what Brother Roy was talking about last week about reversing the curse has to be reversed. And Jesus reversed that curse on Calvary when he shed his blood upon Calvary. And it says, and then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. And that word for follow there, you know, when I talk about following somebody, it'd be like if I'm walking, Clyde's walking across through here and I'm just walking behind him, following him, you know. That isn't what that word really means. It was a bad translation of that word. It means to run after. To run after. And you know what I just told you about Sammy? Sammy, sometimes I'll walk in the back of the church and he'll come in the door and he'll see me down there. He'll run down the aisle, down the church, and, "Hi, Grandpa," and grab me by the leg and give me a big hug. Well, I'm telling you what, until we have that kind of desire where we run after him, just like the song, "Then I'll run after you, then I'll run after you." We were just singing that over and over again. "Draw me close to you." And I'm telling you what, folks, we have to have that desire to run after him. And when we run after him, then we're going to find out that not only are we apprehending him, but that he has apprehended us. You know, it says here, it says, I'll tell you this, and I don't know if Margaret will get mad at me telling you this or not, but she probably will, but she'd give me looks already back there, she warned. But you know what? I feel like Margaret ran after me until I caught her. And I'm going to explain that to you, because with women, they have a subtle way. They just look at you, and they kind of smile at you and all this and that when you meet them. And they have a way of drawing you to them without really doing too much to do it. And you think that you ran after them, but they really was running after you. They drew you. And that's the way it is with the Lord. A lot of times we feel like that we ran after him initially, but I got news for you. That ain't the way it is. He said, "No man can come unto me except the Father draw him." And we were singing, "Draw me close to you." And you know, he does draw us close, and he wants us to run after him. And I'm going to tell you, when we run after him, we'll be just like me and Margaret. She ran after me till I caught her. And I did catch her, and I'm glad I did. But I just want to tell you, that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to run after him. And I'm telling you the truth. When we get like a little child like Sammy, to where we just can't wait to get in his presence, we just can't wait to embrace him, we can't just wait to know that he loves us and that we love him, then there's going to come some deep, deep changes in our situations, our circumstances, and our lives. And I'm going to tell you what, I believe that's when the glory of the Lord will begin to be seen in the body of Christ. When we return to our first love. A lot of times, we've lost some of that first love sometimes because we let so many other things enter in there and get in the way of our relationship with God. And I'm going to read you the rest of that. It says, "Then shall we know if we follow on," and that follow on is run after him, "to know the Lord, that his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come as the rain and as the latter and former rain unto the earth." And you know what? I'm going to tell you, folks, I desire to see the abundance of rain begin to come. You know, we used to sing that song a lot of times, "It's beginning to rain, hear the voice of the Father." He said, "Whosoever will come drink of this water," he's promised to pour his spirit out on his sons and his daughters. "It's beginning to rain." I mean, those are good songs. I mean, those are kingdom songs. And you know what? It's beginning to rain. And you know, I've thought about that story of Elijah when the drought was in the land. And he sent his servant to go and look. And he said, go and take a look. What do you see? Oh, I don't see anything. He sent him back and said, go take another look. Now what do you see? Oh, I see a cloud in the distance. He said, now go and look again. He went and looked again. He said, well, now what do you see? He said, I see a cloud in the form of a man's hand. And then he said, oh, I perceive that there's going to be an abundance of rain. And I'm going to tell you what, when the cloud of witnesses begin to rise up as a man's hand, and that's how God's going to bring the rain into the earth, the former and the latter rain, and there's going to be an abundance of rain, an abundance of him pouring out of his presence. And I'm going to tell you, the thirsty are going to start coming to the water. They're going to start coming. And you might say, well, Lord, how are they going to do that? They're going to do it through you. Praise the Lord. Next scripture I had for you was Philippians 3:12-17. And here Paul's talking about, he says, not as though I had attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may be apprehended, I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The high prize. You know what the high prize is? Now, a lot of people, you know, it's been said in times past, a lot of people think the high prize is going to heaven. I mean, you'll hear that in probably 90% of the churches around here. But I'm going to tell you what, that's not the high prize. The high prize is what he told Abraham in the Old Testament. And when when Abraham had an encounter with God, and when he had an encounter with God, he not only had an encounter with God, but he had an encounter with the name of God of El Shaddai. And El Shaddai is God, the name God Almighty. That's the Hebrew translation of that word, El Shaddai. And El Shaddai was the irresistible nature of God. It was the love nature of God. It even has the connotation of Shaddai, of being like the breasted one, the love nature. And that's why even in Revelations, when you saw Jesus in Revelations, in the book of Revelation, it talks about, as John was describing it, it says that his paps were girded about as it were with gold. Paps is a word for female breasts. Does that mean that Jesus was strange? No. It was symbolic. God was showing that it was the love nature of God. It was the nature that wants to draw people up to this, to the breast of God, so they can receive the sincere milk of the Word, so that they can grow and grow up in Him. And in the Old Testament, he told Abraham, when he had his encounter with El Shaddai, he told him, I am thy exceeding great reward. That's the great reward. His presence in your life. And I'm going to tell you what, Jesus was standing in the Gospel of John. He was standing there and he said, I, the Son of Man, which am in heaven. And Brother Eddie used to quote that scripture a lot. But I want you to know that he was already in heavenly places with the Father. And scripture tells us that we're seated together with him in heavenly places. Now, do we believe it? That's another thing. But I'm going to tell you what, we have to begin to acknowledge it. We have to begin to say, thank you, Lord. I'm going to sit down with you. I'm going to get quiet and still. I'm going to let you talk to me. I'm going to fellowship with you. I'm going to get right up in your face, Jesus. I'm going to get up in your face to where when I look in your eyes, guess who I'll see? I'll see myself in your eyes, because that reflection of me will reflect back from you. You know, we're being changed from glory to glory. Little by little, he's changing us, line upon line, precept by precept. He's changing us. And what he's really changing is our attitudes and our motivations, to where we know what he's done and what he's already accomplished. Because he has accomplished This has all been finished on Calvary. But we don't believe it most of the time. That's why we haven't really received the full expression of it. And the next verse there says, "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this to you." And I'm telling you what, don't be surprised if sometime God begins to reveal to you, hey, you're putting other things ahead of me. You know, we can find 900 different excuses to not come to church. We can find 900 different excuses to not get off and pray. You know, start thinking about, well, you know, I'm tell yourself, I'm going to go home tonight and I'm going to spend an hour praying before the Lord. I'm just going to spend an hour with the Lord. And watch and see if 900 things don't start jumping up in your mind. Well, you know, you need to vacuum and you got to do the wash and you need to go to the grocery store. The car needs air in the tires. You know, you got to do this. Well, you know, you really need to go shopping. You know, all of those things will begin to crowd in and try to crowd that out. Because I'm telling you what, it never fails when you make up your mind that you're going to spend time with God. But that always tends to happen. Therefore, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if you're in anything or otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, wheresoever you have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same things. Psalm 17:15. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. That's the only thing that's ever going to satisfy you, when you wake up in his likeness. You know, Scripture tells us in a lot of different scriptures, awake thou that sleepeth, and God will give you light. And Lord, wake us up, wake us up, wake us up. One more scripture, Psalms 57:7-11. My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory. Wait a minute, wake up. Whose glory? My glory. What's he saying there? In Romans, the 8th chapter, it says, I reckon the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Not to us, in us. Know ye not that you're the temple of God, and if you're the temple of God, he dwells inside of you. And you know what? Lord, awake up that glory, that it might begin to break forth to the outside. Today we were talking about, back in Sunday school, we were talking about back there about when Jesus went up on the Mount of Transfiguration and was transfigured before him. And the glory that was on the inside broke to the outside. Oh, they said his garments shone like they were white and bright, and this just the light of God broke forth out of him. And you know what? I believe Peter, James, and John were never the same after that, you know, because I believe that was something that was just so glorious they didn't know what to think about that. But I'm going to tell you what. He says, my heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let the glory be above the earth. And you know, when he says there, awake up, it's the thought or the ideal of opening the eyes. And you know, I'm going to tell you what happened to Adam in the garden was, he had walked with God in the cool of the day, but after the transgression, I believe his eyes were closed to the spiritual realm and open to the sensual realm, the five natural senses. He lost the touch with the five spiritual senses. And I'm going to tell you what, Lord, wake us up. Open our eyes that we don't look with the five natural senses, but we begin to look with the five spiritual senses. And they coordinate to the natural senses, except the natural senses will cause you to make the wrong decision 99% of the time. Scripture says, taste and see that the Lord is good. It says when we see him as he is, we'll be like him. Faith comes by hearing. What kind of hearing? Spiritual hearing. He's always speaking to us. We have to be touched with the feeling of the infirmities of those about us. You know, we have five spiritual senses and five natural senses. And we need to ask the Lord, Lord, let the five wise virgins inside of us rise up and begin to rule with the oil and the lamp. Not the five foolish virgins, which is the five natural senses. The five natural senses will cause you to think, well, bless God, if I just did this, that would happen. If I just did that, something else would happen. Instead of saying, God, I just submit myself to you. I'm going to do what you tell me to do, when you tell me to do it, and how you tell me to do it. Praise the Lord. Okay, I got one little story I'm going to tell you, and then I'm going to close with this. A Vermont farmer lost his valuable watch in a barn. Loudly lamenting his misfortune, he took his flashlight and raked the sawdust on the floor, but in vain. He hired help, motivated by the offer of a reward, also joined the search. But all the noisy searching failed to turn up the watch. When the men left for lunch, a small boy skipped quietly into the barn and found the watch. Asked by the astonished farmer how he discovered it, the lad replied, "I just laid down on the sawdust and kept very still, and soon I heard the watch ticking." Think about that, folks. Be still and know that I'm God. And until you know that about God, when you get quiet and still before the Lord, that's when you'll hear. And I tell you what, you can do all the clamoring you want. You can do all the running around you want. You can do all the searching you want. You can buy all the tapes you want. You can do all of those things. But that will not help you find that pearl of great value, that pearl of great price. What will help you find it is when you get quiet and still in his presence and begin to say, Lord, reveal yourself to me. Show me what you'd have me see today. Open things up to me. Open my eyes, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. That's all I had to share with you today. I think we're going to try to sing a song here. And it's a song we used to sing years past. And it's called "Therefore the Redeemed of the Lord Shall Return." I know you all know that, most of you all know that song. Let's stand up and sing that song. And notice that you don't listen to the words, and you'll pick it up as we go. Okay. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return, and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return, and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return, and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. Praise God. You know what? We need to return to that first love. We need to return. And I'm going to tell you, when we return, what a tremendous thing he wants to do. If we'll get quiet and still and spend time with him and ask him every day, Lord, what would you have me do today? Lord, what would you have me say today? And it's not a hard thing, Lord. I mean, it's an easy thing, folks. It's a lot easier than we think it is. And we're a lot closer to this thing than we ever thought if we'll just follow the leading of His Spirit. And I'm going to tell you what, just like that scripture I read you in Hosea where it says, if we follow on to know the Lord, if we run after Him. And I'm going to tell you, when you run after something, you're exerting yourself. If somebody told you that there was a $10,000 bill laying over there on the grass and the first one over there could have it, I'd like to see how many of you went out the door real quick. I bet you'd outrun me. But I tell you what, that's the way we need to pursue the Lord. Like it's a treasure. It's a pearl of great price. Praise God. Praise God. Did you have a song, Cynthia, at all? Okay. All right, well, we'll just close in a word of prayer. And if anybody like prayer or if anybody doesn't know the Lord as their personal Savior, you're welcome to come forward and we'll be glad to pray with you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come into your presence right now. We thank you, Lord, that you are such a loving, mighty, merciful God. And thank you, Lord, that we ask you to just stir up the hunger in our hearts and stir up the thirst, that, Father, we would just seek after you until we find you. And you said in the day that we seek for you with all of our hearts, we'll find you. And, Father, I just ask you to just create that desire in your people, Father. And let us be like that little boy who had enough sense to go in and just lay down in the barn and get real quiet and get real still until he heard the watch. And then he went right over and picked it up. And, Father, until we hear your voice and can get right up in your face, help us to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all.